Hey there, everyone. Welcome to today's episode of the Reading Project Podcast, where we explore the wonderful world of literacy and how families can foster a love of reading and build a culture of literacy in their home. I'm your host, Ashley T. Mercurio, and today's episode is all about the importance of reading for fun and how families, including busy caregivers, can find more time for reading in their lives. But before we dive into today's episode, I have something really exciting to share with you. I have recently launched the Your Reading Tutor Teachers Pay Teachers, or TPT, store. I currently have three different word games available: Words Within Words, Build a Word, and Magic Squares Level 1. Over the next few months, I'll be adding more products, so make sure you check it out. These games are great for online tutoring, in-person teaching and tutoring, as well as homeschooling families. So I think there's something in there. If you have a kiddo who is working with words, learning to read, learning to spell, definitely check it out. Let me know what you think. And if you do grab something, make sure you leave me a review to help me build up my new store. All right, everyone, let's jump into today's episode. Hey there, everyone. Welcome to season 4 of the Reading Project Podcast. I'm so excited to be launching the 4th season. I can't even believe it, but here we are. So the Reading Project Podcast is hosted by yours truly, Ashley DiMercuro from Your Reading Tutor, LLC. I'm a private reading tutor, podcaster, virtual summit host, and business mentor. I work with students in grades K-8, usually, and I offer homeschooling support packages. I'm also a wife and homeschooling mom to my 2 kiddos. My mission is to help families, caregivers, and educators build stronger and more confident readers one episode at a time. I want you to know that you don't have to be a teacher in order to help your struggling reader. I'm here to help with book suggestions, homework tips and tricks, mindset work, tools and ideas for tackling reading, writing, and spelling work at home. And I'll be bringing in guest experts to share their wisdom as well. I have some great new episodes planned for you this year. You can expect new episodes twice a month this season. This season, I'll be talking about banned books, graphic novels, building reading fluency, reading challenges, and so much more. Watch for a new style of episode where I do a deep dive into a student and family profile and talk about how I would approach helping the student and family. When you're listening this season, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast, and follow me on Instagram at Your Reading Tutor, or send me an email at ashleyd@yourreadingtutor.com. And we'll make sure to include the links to those things down in the show notes. All right, let's dive in to season 4 of the Reading Project Podcast. Let's go. So, reading for fun matters. Let's talk about why. We often hear about the importance of reading for educational and academic purposes, but reading for fun has its own unique benefits. Studies have shown that caregivers who prioritize their own reading not only reduce their stress, but set a positive example for their children, showing them that reading is a lifelong pursuit worthy of their time and energy. There is also research to suggest that children who read for pleasure not only perform better academically, but also develop stronger empathy, creativity, and critical thinking skills. So it's not just about acquiring knowledge and reading to learn, which is very important, of course, but it's also about fostering a lifelong love for learning and reading. I remember growing up, my favorite pastime was diving into the different worlds of fiction. Whether it was solving mysteries with Nancy Drew, rooting for Katniss Everdeen, or exploring the wizarding world of Harry Potter, reading for fun was always my escape from reality and a source of endless fun. Even as a college student, I can remember, you know, reading for fun during the summer, reading fiction. I remember joining a fiction book club in college. And I still, you know, those are some of my clearest memories, is really diving into a book that I love. So now, as a busy mom of 2 and business owner, I understand how challenging it can be to find time for personal activities like reading. However, I have found that prioritizing my own reading has not only enriched my life and been super fun for me, but helped me to recharge and be more present for my family. And again, it gives me the opportunity to model and say to my kiddos, I'm reading, right? You know, when they come up and they say, oh, you know, what are you doing right now? Can you come watch the show with me? Or, oh, can we, you know, do XYZ? You know, I can say, well, right now I'm reading, I'm going to finish this chapter. Or, oh, you know, I'm really into this book. And sometimes my daughter will even ask me to read out loud parts of the book I'm reading. So as long as it's, you know, as long as it's not inappropriate, I love doing that for her. So today we're going to kick off this episode by talking about just some different kinds of books and different kinds of texts that you can enjoy as a family. And then after that, I'm going to give you a few tips on how you can make more time for reading. All right. So I have about 10 different kinds of texts that I want to talk about today that I think families can enjoy exploring and reading together. The first two are picture books and chapter books. This is probably the most obvious ones, the things you think of first. Picture books are perfect for young and old children, truly older children, because picture books offer engaging stories accompanied by colorful illustrations. You can use them to teach vocabulary, art appreciation, text features, and even use a picture book as a starting off point for a difficult topic or a difficult time in your life. We have two episodes on the Reading Project podcast, one about using picture books with older children. And then also we had Haley Glenn come and talk about her picture book when Verona the Corona came to town and how that helped her students and many others to make sense of that time in our history. And then, of course, chapter books, which are longer narratives divided into chapters, or sometimes I've seen some recently, I've been doing some different chapter books where it's more like a journal or a diary, which is another great opportunity to talk with your kid about, you know, writing as well, writing a diary, keeping a diary, and how journal entries look different than like chapters. And typically chapter books are ideal for, you know, school age kids that are maybe not as interested in picture books and are interested in more complex stories. And you can start reading chapter books. You know, there's all different kinds of chapter books. You might be automatically thinking of a huge, thick text like Harry Potter, but my daughter has, you know, we've been reading a lot of Junie B. Jones with her and Amelia Bedelia. So lots of different chapter books at lots of different levels. The next one is graphic novels. So I'm a huge fan of graphic novels, and I'm always encouraging families and educators to be using graphic novels with their students. They're just much more approachable for kids because the pictures are exciting and interesting and there's less text, so it doesn't feel overwhelming. They combine storytelling with visual art. Graphic novels really do appeal to readers of all ages, and they totally count. And now, because graphic novels have become so popular, there really is a range of genres. I mean, you can find nonfiction graphic novels. You can learn about history through graphic novels, or you can find just silly, fun graphic novels. And they're easier readers, like lower meant for our younger readers that are just getting started with graphic novels, you know, all the way up to really complex graphic novels. So definitely check them out with your kids. Let them read them. Really anything that they're excited about reading, you want to be excited for them, right? Excited with them. The next one is poetry anthologies. And I know what you might be thinking, you know, poetry, you never liked that in school, or you only read the stuffy poetry. But, you know, there really is a place for poetry and both kinds. Like, your older readers might be more interested in like the powerful, you know, beauty of language and imagery in more classical poetry, but you can also include silly and fun poetry for your younger readers to get them more interested in it. A lot of kids find poetry, again, kind of like graphic novels, more approachable because there's less text. So it's easier for them to get a sense of accomplishment after reading because they've read the whole poem, right? Or the whole page of a graphic novel. Don't forget about fairy tales and folk tales, of course. You can check out those timeless classics and cultural stories from all around the world. It's just a great way to get your kids' creativity flowing and spark conversations with your children. My daughter is very into the original Disney stories right now, the books, and we read the Jungle Book last night, and it was just really an interesting story to read with her and hear some of the questions she had about the words they use. You know, why did they say man cub, and, you know, all those different pieces of a story. Then nonfiction books are great to check out as a family, from nature to science to history, biographies. There's all kinds of opportunities for learning and discovering new ideas and learning new things. If you're planting a garden this year, head to the library and grab some gardening books. Maybe you're planning a trip this summer. Find books on that location and learn about that location with your kiddo. Magazines and newspapers are two more kinds of texts that you can explore as a family. I think I've talked a little bit before. My favorite magazine to use is The Week Junior. I always joke like that I get my news. I get my news from The Week Junior. But I just love the way it's laid out. They give you information about world news, you know, new big news stories from the week. Then they narrow it down a little bit more and they offer how-tos in there. There's games. It's just a really fun magazine and it has all the different topics like science and technology on the screen, sports, animals. I definitely recommend checking it out. I know there are others too. So if you're listening to today's episode, take a screenshot and share with me on social media that you're listening and let me know what your favorite magazine or newspaper is to read as a family. Because I know there are other magazines out there that cover topics like science, nature, cooking, or different hobbies. Newspapers, you can read both virtual and physical newspapers together as a family. Newspapers can foster critical thinking skills and really interesting discussions with your kiddos. Our county still has a physical newspaper that I think is a great way to learn more about your community. Even if you don't read the whole thing, just opening it up, looking at it with your family, talking about newspapers and how they've changed over time and how they might continue to change. Finally, two more types of texts that you could check out are short stories and plays. You can enjoy collections of short stories. We often find like fables and folktales as short stories, but there are other kinds of short stories as well. Recently, there have been several series that have come out that are short stories that are great for bedtime. And then there you can read plays and scripts from traditional theater. And you can also read reader's theater, which is more like a script specifically designed for schools and for kids and reading with kids. If you are interested in Reader's Theater, feel free to reach out to me and I can point you in the right direction. You can also just search on Amazon. There's some really fun ones. I like to use Fractured Fairy Tales as well in Reader's Theater form. So some of your favorite classic fairy tales with a twist. So those are really fun to check out. All right, so I've given you a whole bunch of ideas for different kinds of texts that you can explore with your kiddos to help them see reading as part of your family culture and all the different ways that you're reading. I'm sure there's even more that I haven't mentioned here. But I want to take a minute to talk with you a little bit about how you can make more time for yourself and your reading as a super busy caregiver, because I know that I have found it really tricky to carve out time for reading. And there, sometimes I will have a week, you know, where it's less busy and I find I can pick up a book more frequently and I'm able to read, a book in a week and it goes by super quick. And then I might not pick up another book for another week or two until I find the next one I'm really excited to read. I know some people move right from one book into the next. That hasn't worked for me right now in this season of my life. So I definitely encourage you to figure out what's going to work for you and, you know, attach no emotion or no judgment to how you decide to spend your reading time. So instead of waiting for these large blocks of free time, I want you to try and find the small pockets of time throughout your day for reading, whether it's during nap time, while waiting for an appointment, or on your lunch break. You can most likely build a little bit of reading into your daily routine most days. I know my kids still like us to sit with them in the evening as they're falling asleep. So I'll sometimes bring my book in. So after I read to them and get them settled, then I can just sit in their room as they're falling asleep and read my book. I can also, occasionally my daughter will ask me to read out loud to her what I am reading. So as long as it's appropriate, I go ahead and do that. You can find ways to integrate reading into your daily tasks, listening to audiobooks while cooking, cleaning, exercising, driving. This will allow you to multitask, but still be enjoying the story. And I really encourage you to embrace audiobooks and ebooks. In today's digital age, there are countless ways to consume a story, to consume literature. So even if you love holding a book in your hands, because I sure do, I still listen to audiobooks and I still have a Kindle and I read ebooks sometimes too. So different times, you know, I tend to lean more towards getting ebooks just because personally I've moved a number of times lately and moving books to each new place has been really challenging. So I'm starting to value the ebook and the ability to have lots of books right on your Kindle, but I still do love holding a book in my hands and having the actual physical book to carry around with me. And I don't have to worry about if it's charged up or not to be able to read. That said, I do all of it, right? And I encourage you to not limit yourself. Don't say, oh, I don't use an e-reader, or I can never listen to audiobooks, or I only listen to audiobooks, right? Like, don't limit yourself in that way and just be open to exploring all the ways that you can consume literature and finding ways to fit it into your life as a family. Okay, make sure that you're setting realistic goals for yourself. I sort of touched on this already, but try not to, you know, feel pressured by social media to set these lofty reading goals of 100 books in the year, or I don't even know what they do, because I really don't pay attention to a lot of that, because I think it's more important to set flexible goals and give yourself grace. You know, I know for me, I was like, well, I'm never going to read that many fiction novels in a year, because I also read personal development. I also read professional development, and I do a lot of other kinds of reading. And so for a while, I just didn't even pick up fiction because I thought, well, I can't read as much as that person, so why bother? But then I thankfully put that mindset, I put that away, and I said, no, you know, I love reading a great story, and I might not be able to read for hours on end like I used to do, but I can still find time to read this book and read books I want to read. And that last part, read books you want to read, that's important. I don't want you to feel like you have to finish every book you start. I sure don't. My reading time is precious. Yours is too. So only read the books that you're super excited about. If you're not enjoying it, put it down and choose something else for a while. Remember that taking care of yourself really is essential to being able to take care of others. This is advice I need to take myself, and finding more me time in my day and in my week for reading, and treat it just as part of my regular self-care routine. So I definitely feel this. I know it's easy to put it off when life gets busy. And so just remember, it, reading for fun matters, and to give yourself grace. And finally, if it feels good to you, join a book club in real life or a virtual book club. There are some great ones online. Not only does this give you accountability for the reading and motivation to keep reading, but it also fosters a sense of community and connection with other book lovers. So remember that your well-being matters just as much as your loved ones, and that reading for fun matters for your kids and for you. By prioritizing your own reading for fun, you're not only taking care of yourself, but also setting a powerful example for those around you. All right, everyone, that's it for today's episode of the Reading Project Podcast. If you found these tips helpful, be sure to subscribe to our podcast, leave us a 5-star review. Don't forget to take a screenshot and tag me on social media at Your Reading Tutor so that I know you're listening. Until next time, keep reading. Thank you all so much for listening. It truly means the world to me. If you love this podcast and have found it helpful and you want to help us reach more families, you could do one of two things, or both. Just take a screenshot and text your 3 best friends or teacher friends, encouraging them to check out the podcast. Or take a moment and head on over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. I love reading the reviews and hearing what you're enjoying about the show and how the show is helping you at home. And I'd love to be able to give you a shout out on the show and share your review with everyone. So thanks again. Until next time, keep reading.